Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Super J-Cast. Your ears do not deceive you. It is that time of year again. The annual World Tag League Takeover is upon us for the third year in a row. I am Lawrence Korber. I am again joined by my lovely wife, the bilingual bombshell, Evelyn Paiman.
Salut, salut!
Hey, babe, how's it going?
Pretty good. It's a great moment of the year, the World Tag League. We're all excited. Let's talk about it.
Very excited. We have a couple things we need to touch on first and foremost. Before we dig into not only the KOPW show on the 17th, the last show before the World Tag League, we're also going to give a quick shout out to Tommy Hiroishi, who was officially inducted into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
So congrats to Big Tom, the Stone Pitbull. There was a big debate about whether or not he was worthy of getting into this Hall of Fame.
I hear it. I always find it weird when they put people in the Hall of Fame that are still competing.
Okay, you think like it should be a conversation until after a career is completed.
Yes. But I do understand some wrestlers wrestle pretty much till the end, so it could be long for some people to get in the Hall of Fame.
And also, it's an interesting conversation, too, because sometimes wrestlers wrestle for so long that, you know, their peak is 15, 20 years in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at a current, like, if you look at Tenzan today, you're like, who is this guy, right? You're not going to go back and watch, like, oh, shit, in 2008, 2009, this guy was the baddest motherfucker on the planet or whatever, right? I don't know. I think it's a cool thing for him. Sure, he's never been a world champion, never been the top guy, but I feel like Tommy Hiroishi has this level of excitement when you jump into a match and you go, who's he wrestling? Who's he against? You know? And I think that's...
We know that that person fighting him is going to have a hard time.
Yeah, and they're going to have to throw some elbows and get headbutted and dropped on their fucking head. And it's wonderful.
We like it.
Yes. So congrats to Big Tom. Another big piece of New Japan news that came out this week, officially signing with AEW, Will Ospreay.
Oh, are we losing him?
He's released some information on Twitter and on social media saying that he's not leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's going to be doing both. So maybe it's a situation where he's going to be going back and forth.
That's great, though.
Which is something I would like to see.
Which he's doing already, but I guess that is just the ratio is going to be switched. Instead of doing more New Japan, less AEW, it's going to be more AEW and less New Japan. I really don't want him to get lost in the roster of AEW. He's on the right path. I mean, he's been doing very big matches whenever he's there in AEW.
Right.
But we have the perfect example of Jay White. The start of Jay White's career in AEW was a little rough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, not featured as a top guy out of the gate. I feel like his most recent story with MJF has been kind of disappointing in terms of what we know Jay White is capable of. I know we were at a certain level of fatigue with Jay White. But to see him, you know, losing to MJF, who's already wrestled once in the evening and is hobbling around on one leg, is not really I guess, what we were all imagining for Jay White.
I have to say that his last match in the new tournament that they're having was pretty cool. So that's
he defeated Roosh.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to see him very victorious into that new round robin. How do they call it?
Continental
Challenge. Continental Classic.
Yeah, or as New Japan's will call it, the G3. The G3 may be a climax, possibly blue balls.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people, what is that? How is it working? I'm like, dudes, it's like the G1. Please get up to date.
Your New Japan fans are rolling their eyes like, you've never heard of a round robin tournament. What do you mean they all wrestle each other? I don't understand. What do you mean they're not eliminated? He lost. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I love it. So, yeah, shout out to Jay White on that one. How many times did you say, just give the guy a mic?
Just give Jay White a mic.
Just
Jay White
mic.
Will carry his own weight if you just give him a live microphone. So that makes me kind of apprehensive to see what they do with Will Ospreay. And I mean, he has had a crazy year. Obviously, fighting Jericho and Wembley at All In. You and I were lucky enough to see him live. We saw Omega Ospreay 2 in Toronto for the Forbidden Door, which was a hell of a time.
Yes, I wanted to come back on that. I wanted to share the joy with you guys of us having the privilege to go to Toronto and see live the Forbidden Door show 2023. Oh my God, what an experience.
Incredible.
I mean, just being there and being able to clap for our New Japan champions and our New Japan favorites live in front of us, sing their songs. I was going crazy. I lost my voice on the first show because we went to both shows. There was a
Collision the night
show
before,
that
yes.
was the night before, and then the Forbidden Door the next day. I literally lost my voice. And it was funny because you would see a lot of AEW fan at the Collision show being like,
ooh.
Why is she screaming like that? And I'm just going crazy.
It's ELP! It's a Phantasma!
It was very fun. We had a blast. We brought our towels. We brought our fans.
That's right. It was a good time. We had tremendous seats. We had the first row of the kind of the second bowl. So we had an unobstructed view to the ring, which was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed in the strangest anime themed Airbnb near downtown Toronto, which was just absolutely strange. It was obviously a place that was not
meant for housing.
Not at all. It was definitely a commercial building that someone adapted. There was a couple of homeless people sleeping underneath the walkway.
You could barely close the doors to go to the bathroom.
That's correct, yeah. And the bathroom was the tight, like, you're sitting on the toilet and your knee is pressed into your other knee. Like, you can't move either way. Like, it was madness.
But let's face it, it was all worth it. Tell me how cool it was to see your childhood legend, Sting.
Yeah.
Teaming up with your now favorite
yeah.
New Japan
yeah, yeah, yeah.
wrestler, Naito?
I think I've never seen Sting wrestle live before. So for me, and even though we're not talking late 90s peak Sting, right? We're talking about 2023 Sting, but still to see him live is just cool. Is you cross another name off the list of, oh, I've seen this guy
mm-hmm.
live. And to see him and Naito wrestle in the same ring is insane. Even though, of course, it's not the greatest match. Sure, it goes on weird place in the card. These guys are wearing their t-shirts. It's not the greatest match of all time. But for me to be there, to see it, to be, like, experience it, something I'll never forget. It was tremendous.
To talk about weird place on the card, do you remember the New Japan Pro Wrestling Champion, heavyweight champion,
Sanada yes.
had a match against Jungle Boy Jack Perry in 9th out of like 16 matches? Ninth out of 14 matches.
Yeah, it was
the
so
champion
weird.
Is not even headlining this show.
No.
Like, what's happening with Sanada? Come on.
I mean, I think especially for the Western fan base, the people who are going to be big draws, you have obviously Kazuchika Okada. You know, Ospreay match is going to be big. You know, you bring in Tetsuya Naito. Sanada's just not at that caliber. Like, he still is the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. But I think from, you know, a fan perspective, I think everyone is not really there, sorry, to see Sonata. You know, like, Sonata's a nice little wrestler or whatever, but
yeah.
I like him. I think he has a good look now. I think him leading a faction is nice for him, but I think, you know, he doesn't have the star, the caliber of those other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think Forbidden Door was kind of like a very egregious example of that.
Exactly. You saw the big difference in how he is welcomed in America,
yeah,
and how he is welcomed in Japan, that people really love him back there.
Sure. And look, that's all fine, but like, to be in that arena, like, the biggest pop of the night, the biggest reaction of the night was during the Kenny Omega Ospreay match, where Ospreay dumps Omega on his head and he kicks out at one. Omega just starts pounding the mat and everyone's going fucking insane.
Yeah.
That was huge. And then you see the other reactions that, you know, made you feel like you were in this big energy. You know, Okada coming out, Bryan Danielson coming out, Sting, Naito. These guys that are fucking larger, Jericho, these larger-than-life guys. And Sonata came out, and everyone was like, okay, Sonata's here. He's wearing a robe. He looks like an angry D&D wizard. You know, like, someone's like, what if he had, like, bard charisma? But he was, like, good at magic. You know, like, it feels like that. Like, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And, like, imagine putting him with Jack Perry is also not... I don't know if it does him any favors.
Not at all.
I don't know if anyone is really...
Where's Jack Perry right now?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's rock hard to see Jack Perry wrestle.
Rock hard for rock hard.
Juice Kyle Robinson. Who we wish a speedy recovery from his back surgery.
Course. Oh, and also, do you remember someone called, like, CM Punk that was at that show? Do you remember that? Do you remember how the Toronto Canadian crowd booed him?
The fuck out of him?
Like,
yes.
He has never been booed before. That was pretty funny.
I mean, one of the friends that Evelyn and I went with is a staunch CM Punk supporter, and we were having a back and forth conversation. I was over CM Punk for a while, just because for me, he didn't do anything in the ring. That was to my taste, at least. And, I don't know, I felt like him having his own show and needing to be separated and all this kind of drama and bullshit. I was like, it's a matter of time.
There was a lot of energy put towards someone that was not maybe bringing...
Pro wrestling is the only business in the world where it's like, hey, I keep fighting people at my workplace. What should we do? Let's give you your own show. That doesn't happen. Try and go into your fucking corporate job and be like, look, I threw a punch... during my PowerPoint presentation. They're like, well, you have your own shift now. You get to decide
pick
things on your
team.
Own shift. Yeah, pick your own team, right? You know, that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. It's insane that it happens in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Well, those were the days.
But I gotta say, Forbidden Door was an excellent experience. And next year, Forbidden Door is in your neck of the woods, wherever you might be listening to our fine voices. You know, make an effort to go hang out and check it out, because it was a lot of fun.
That's a wrap on Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was a good time.
That was the first time we left home without our baby for more than a day.
That's true.
That was quite an experience too.
How nervous were you on the scale from 1 to 10?
Not that nervous.
No?
I knew he was in good hands. But you miss your kids. You miss your loved ones. You're leaving for a couple of days, right?
Yeah, but it was worth it to see professional wrestling.
Oh, speaking of baby, by the way, our son is a big fan of wrestling, which is quite scary, because now he takes boards and whatever, and he slams our back with it as if it's a chair, and then he laughs and he thinks it's hilarious, and he slaps our chest and he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah,
so,
our kid's a heel.
Yeah, well, major heel.
An absolute rule breaker. Unbelievable.
So,
I don't know how we did that. I thought we were the good guys, but I guess we were wrong.
He's not a baby face. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it turns out.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm a heel? Is that what you're saying?
No, it means he loves wrestling.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. I thought you were accusing me of being a bad guy. great. So, out of the three shows we're covering, the first is November the 17th, headlined by the KOPW title match. The show starts off on kind of a strange note with Hiroshi Tanahashi coming out to accept a never-openweight six-man challenge from Ren Narita, Ryusuke Taguchi, and the ever-dangerous Tomoaki Hanma.
Hanma.
Hanma, who is as bronzed as ever. Jesus Christ, give this man a break. He's so dark.
So dark.
Gotta love him.
Chocolate.
After that, our match that kicks us off is the New Japan Dad Squad fighting Oscar Luboy, Bolton Oleg, and Yuto Nakashima. I gotta say, the dads obviously beat the Young Lions here.
What?
Yes, I know, I'm surprised too.
Wow.
Kojima, Tenzan, putting in a lot of the work. Toge Makabe didn't do shit. Oscar Luboy.
Yes.
He looks great.
He looks awesome. I wrote that a couple of times. Man, I'm seeing great things for him.
White as a sheet.
So white.
Needs a tan.
So pale.
Needs to hang out with Hanma.
But he's got it in his face that he wants it.
Yeah, he looks mean.
That's what I love about it.
He's a big, angry German dude. And fuck yeah, I'm really excited about Oscar.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's the kind of big, mean character that New Japan can really benefit from.
True.
You know, and I think that he, once he comes back from his excursion and they're going to put him into the rotation, I think he's going to be a guy to watch. I really have a great feeling about him.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, he's tough to miss.
Yeah, because he...
in the ring.
Anytime you put a spotlight on him, he reflects... the man is translucent. You ever see that movie Powder from the 90s?
Yes.
That's the skin tone.
That's
this man
what
is...
I was saying the other day. La Fata Nine.
Yeah, that's it, man. I'm telling you, this man is shimmering. It's unbelievable. He's like one of the vampires from Twilight.
Sorry.
No, you can laugh. That's why.
I know, but I'm snoring.
You can snort?
I'm snorting.
You think
laughing.
The fine fans of the Super J-Cast mind a little snorting from you?
I mean, a snort laugh means it's a real good laugh,
that's
right?
It's the highest quality of laugh. It's the chef's kiss of laughing. You can't do better.
All right.
Next up, we had the unlikely duo of Toru Yano and Master Wato defeating the team of Taiji Ishimori and Gedo.
Oh my god, really? It's my man, Yano. Of course he's gonna win.
Yeah.
It's my man, Yano.
I know.
And I have to say, he's got a new drink to promote.
Oh god.
So we gotta listen to him. He's got some stuff to do.
When
you
doesn't
know?
He have something new to promote, though?
I don't know. I think that he maybe should start a brand of sanitizer.
Okay.
Like, I feel like that's the next step. He should sanitize the ring, but with his own brand sanitizer. Get on that, Yano.
Okay. I love it. A rare mishap from Toru Yano in this match. It took him 6 to 7 minutes to undo the corner pad. Did you notice
my
that?
God.
Usually very expedient when it comes to the removal of the corner pads, but not on this day. What happened here?
What? I don't know. Someone put it really tight because it took so long, and it is not... It's not Yano style to take that long.
It's one of these new young lions.
Yes, someone's getting fired.
One of these new young lions is getting an extra ass whooping and has to do an extra 4,000 squats because of this. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Very uncharacteristic.
I know. I was worried for him for a second.
I know. He lost his touch.
I don't think it's him. I think it's the accessory people.
Fair enough. So this match finishes when Yano catches Gato's low blow and then makes it look like he actually received a low blow, and the ref calls for the bell. A little Eddie Guerrero tribute spot. Can't be mad about it.
I mean, you gotta work with the shenanigans that House of Torture gives you. It's not even House of Torture, that Bullet Club gives you, right?
Absolutely. Next up, we had the Chaos team of Yo and Bishamon defeating Callum Nguyen, Hanare, and the Great Okan from the United Empire. Great Okan lost his braid. Big fluffy fucking hair now. What's going on?
Yeah, I called him Studio 54 Great Okan. Right?
Okay. I love that.
He's got a little Donna Summer kind of
look.
Oh,
shit, from the album,
right?
Cover. Oh my god.
Thank you.
He looks like a recently divorced dad who's like, I'm trying a new look out. This is gonna work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Again, we got some good audience chair shots. My favorite, I'm very sarcastic when I say that. I have a real hard time with the wrestlers going in the audience, throwing each other
Oh, you hate
in
that,
the
eh?
Chairs. I'm always scared for, like, the merch that the people just bought at the concession stand or whatever.
For the food.
And, like, you pay good money for that
right
stuff. And then just to get it cracked over by some sweaty wrestlers that decide to throw each other at your seat that you paid. Oh, I would be mad.
I hear you, but I think it's part of the experience, right?
Sure.
You buy a bunch of nachos, and then you take one nacho home, and you make a necklace out of it. You're like, the great Ocon sweated on his nacho. His raw sexual charisma is now just dipped in this nacho.
I can smell it from here.
I can smell it from here. So this match ended with Callum Newman eating a pin, as he's been doing all tour.
Yeah,
from the Shoto from Bishamon.
I have to say, I liked him.
He's looking great, all these matches.
He reminds me of, like, a Zack Sabre Jr. kind of character.
Okay.
Little cocky white boy, very quick.
Yes.
You know, attitude.
Not Oscar Loibe levels of pale, but, you know.
No.
Slightly more pigmented, yeah.
But, yeah, he's got some kind of moves like Zack brings, and, yeah.
Well, definitely the speed is there, the agility. I mean, you know, the moniker, the Prince of Pace, is very well earned. You know, this guy fucking moves. It's unbelievable. And I think it's just great experience for this guy to develop and be in these six-man tags and join on these tours and corner United Empire guys.
And be in a team, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, New Japan's really good about that.
So good.
They'll take a guy, they'll have him come out, lose a bunch on his first tour, and then they'll see him win and get better and improve. And I think that's part of the booking that... if you follow the company long enough, you know, it pays off. So I really appreciate that part of it. Next up, Shota, Minoru Suzuki, Yuji Nagata, and the Tiger Mask defeat LIJ. Bushi was coming out in some astral space gear, and I fucking dig it.
Oh, yeah, he had this this new mask that looked like Star-Lord.
Star-Lord, so cool.
That was so cool. How many masks do you think Bushi has now?
It's gotta be thousands. Right?
Yeah, it's like one every show.
I know, and you know what's crazy is, I've seen Bushi in so many nothing eight-man tags in the middle of wherever in Japan, and he always brings some fucking cool mask. He never mails it in. This guy cares more about his gear than I think anyone else in the history of professional wrestling.
Yeah. Shout out to Bushi.
Shout out to Bushi.
Shout out to Bushi for the masks.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Tiger Mask's yellow socks that were really brighter than usual. That's the only thing I could see on him.
About his socks.
The freaking yellow socks. And that was intense.
And then one of my notes, which I think we have to talk about, it just says two words. It says, Tsuji fucks.
What?
Tsuji, he fucks. He's amazing. Okay. This guy fucks.
I did say that he looks more and more comfortable, and I love seeing him getting more and more comfortable into at ease in the ring and owning his space, owning his vibe, owning the crowd. I love where he's going with it. I loved it at the beginning. I love it even more now.
Yeah.
And also, at some point, you could see Tsuji and Shingo doing some tag team stuff.
Well,
and
I think that's the biggest disappointment.
They were
of this
just rubbing
team.
It in, right?
Yeah, I think. Look, they put the KOPW, or not the KOPW, I apologize, the Never Openweight Championship on Shingo Takagi, and he is slated for a defense at the Tokyo Dome against Tama Tonga, which is fine. I understand you want to reward Tama Tonga for his loyalty to New Japan, and I understand you want Shingo in a singles match in the Dome. I get it. There was a chemistry forming between Tsuji and Shingo that I was excited about to explore during the World Tag League.
100%.
Because when Tsuji joined LIJ, it really felt like Shingo was the first guy to kind of accept it. Like,
mm-hmm.
like Tsuji threw up the fist and Naito went, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, Hiromu was like, didn't you get rid of this fucking guy when he was a young lion? Bushi's like, I don't know who anyone is. T-Tan is like, am I in the country? You know, and then Shingo was like, no, give this guy a chance. And then, you know, it felt like they were always shoulder to shoulder.
Yes.
They had similar gear.
Yes.
They just looked like they were fitting together as a unit. And I felt like this is something I was looking forward to.
I was so excited
for
to
World
see
Tag
them
League.
Two together.
And then it's like, oh, no, he's a singles champion, so we're going to bring in some sexy pirate. You're like, what? Sorry, what? Yeah, some sexy pirate. Have we seen him before? Is he part of LIJ?
Nah.
No, he's a sexy pirate. And I'm sure we're going to touch on Xander Khan Jr. later in the conversation.
We will.
But Tsuji just oozes this charisma. And when you look at him in context against guys like Ren Narita, Shota Umino, and now Yuya, all these guys who have come back, Tsuji just has this fucking aura.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about him that I just love watching, and I am just so excited about the future for this guy.
Because he already feels like he's been there for years.
Yeah.
And he just got there. Just imagine in a couple of years how it's going to be. Great. Can't wait.
Very excited. Shooter pins Bushi after that fake hidden blade thing to the back of the head he does. And this is one of my issues with Shota. Shota Umino is a great wrestler. He looks good. But for me, there's too many things about Shota that aren't him, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's too much of a tribute act.
Mm-hmm.
The name on the back of his jacket is Shooter. That's from John Moxley. His finisher is from the Death Rider. That's, you know, also from John Moxley. His gear
looks just John Moxley.
Okay, but his gear
his
looks
entrance
like
entrance is John Moxley.
Sure, his gear looks like Tanahashi.
Yeah,
you know what
okay.
I mean? Like his the certain things that hidden blade thing is from his feud with Ospreay. It feels like he's collecting things from other people,
mm-hmm.
but we're not really getting to the root of him. I think his match against Ospreay was a nice introduction. It was definitely a big step in the right direction.
It was the best match I've seen him fight in.
Sure, absolutely. And I agree 100%. It's against Will Ospreay. It's hard not to have the
which
best.
Which is what we're going to say to everyone.
Everyone has their
without
how
Ospreay.
Many people have had their best match not against Will Ospreay this year? It's a short list. Tai Chi's best match, fucking Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All these guys have their greatest match, and it's against fucking Will Ospreay because that's what he does. He shows up,
that's true.
He gives people their best match, and then he fucks off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's it. I don't know. I feel like there's another gear for this guy, and I feel like there's more to discover with him. But I think he's going to be a big part of the future moving forward, for sure.
Yeah, of course. The fans are already at his feet. I don't know if you've seen
the
fans.
The women.
In Japan.
The ladies.
They are going berserk when he's near them.
The floor is slick.
He just like taps their plastic stick with his plastic
stick. The glowy
stick,
sticks. Oh
the
my
glow
God.
Sticks.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's it. They lose it.
Yeah. And then
they're
the
crying.
Kids too, jumping up and down.
Oh.
Getting a little bracelet. Woof. This guy's a stud. And that's why they had to put him with the vacuum of charisma, Ren Narita. Either way. The next match, House of Torture versus Just Five Guys. Look, if you're having a hard time sleeping, this is for you.
Just five guys. And the rest of the song. That's
it. One of them's the world champ. And then there's four more guys. I think that's it. I think Just Five Guys looks like a mess in terms of like a unit. Just because there's no kind of consistency between the five of them?
I think that Yuya
yes.
coming in Just Five Guys was badly needed.
Okay.
They badly needed to have something.
Yeah.
And the only thing that they had was like a lost Tai Chi that keeps on looking around like, I need something, I need someone. He tried to grab onto Sanada. Sanada, yeah, okay, he's there. And then Yuya comes in, and I'm like, yes, okay, finally this team can breathe a little bit, represent something, and have a little energy. I don't know, have a little legitimacy, too.
Absolutely.
He's doing good. I mean, Yuya, he looks like Flash McQueen, you know? The
red and the yellow.
The red and the flames.
What's a
know?
Heat storm? Explain a heat storm to me.
Look, the new nicknames I do not get.
Gene Blast.
Heat
Storm.
We all know what that means.
Gene Blast?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Gene Blast me, but not in my hair.
Exactly right, yes.
Okay. And Heat Storm. What is
it? It's like a storm of heat, obviously.
Yeah, okay, I get it, but nah.
Heat Storm.
Anyway.
Someone in the New Japan office needs to really sit down and be like, we can do better.
He shows up, you know, and he was like one on four. During the start of the match, like
yes.
Yuya brings that energy and that team that they didn't have, so go for him, good for them.
Yeah, my favorite part of this match, it was not the wrestling, it was early on in the match where everyone pairs off and Evil grabs Sonata because we haven't seen that enough this year, and he grabs him and he whips him into the barricade, whatever the case is. And then he takes his hands and he just rubs them on the apron because he's accusing Sonata of being very oily. And I just love, that was my favorite part of the match. Was just Evil after all the bullshit and tomfoolery, just being like, he's oily, goddammit. I think Yuya, to your point, I think he looks great. I think he moves well. You know, Chris Charlton on commentary keeps pointing out his offense is very kind of classic. It's
mm-hmm.
very nothing flashy. It's just kind of the basics executed at a really high level. The crossbody, the arm drags. So I find he's kind of like a babyface throwback, a little fiery. So I'm really enjoying his work so far. You fell asleep during this match?
That's why I don't have a lot of notes.
I know. You're looking at you're flipping around on pages. I'm like, my notes say Ev fell asleep.
It was late.
It was late, yeah. Yoshinobu Kanemaru ends up pinning Taka Michinoku in a big who gives a fuck. Second to last match, Hanma, Taguchi, Ren Narita versus Okada, Ishii, and Tanahashi for the Never Six-Man Openweight Championships. The champions retain here. A good match.
Yeah, my first note was, why is this match even happening?
That's a great question. I have no answer.
Sorry, I didn't see it coming.
I'll tell you why this match happened. Because we have two House of Torture matches on this card, and House of Torture in the main event. So the New Japan office is like, well, that's unacceptable. We have to give them something worth watching. So
So
they book this match, I guess.
Okay, great.
Hanma and Taguchi are not threats. You know, you can't sell us on second from the top. The semi-main event, Red Shoes is in the corner. You can't sell us on Taguchi and Hanma. These guys who have, you know, Taguchi was a junior tag champion. He was the 69th champion.
How are they a team? Well, how did this come together?
But the open weight, the never open weight six man, there's always a ragtag group of fucking.
But at
whoever.
Least it's like the same faction or whatever. Well,
I
technically
mean, loosely,
they are.
Loosely?
They're house team.
I mean, just in like the Red Narita's weird unit works with the home team, works with Chaos,
yeah.
works with all the.
Can
units.
You believe in that three men, Taguchi, Red Narita, and Hanma? Hanma is the one that looks the best.
Physically?
Yeah.
I mean, he's bronzed god.
If you take a picture of those three,
yeah.
Can you believe Hanma is the one that looks the best?
Ren Narita.
Actually, like, Taguchi has the dad bod that we used to know.
You know?
Ren Narita just looked like a flobby pale teen.
Oh, my God.
Actually, he looks like Taguchi's son that are there on vacation, and they were like, what is happening here? Oh my god, we're in a ring.
Dad's in a fight. I better bail him out again.
Oh my god.
He's had too many tequila shots. He keeps trying to show everyone his ass.
It fits the story,
you know?
Right?
Yeah, I felt like this match was okay. You know, Tanahashi pins Ren, which seemed strange. Like, it feels like you have Hanma and Taguchi who could get pinned very easily. So to pin Ren Narita, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. It feels like... I don't know. Since the G1, I have not been a huge fan of Ren Narita's work. I feel like he is a step behind. I feel like I don't have a lot to sink my teeth into with him. I get he's doing the strong style stoic kind of thing. But there's a disconnect for me.
He's so boring.
Yeah.
Oh my god, just get a stripe of color in your hair or something. Man, I am bored to death. He looks like a young lion that never got out of this young lion phase. Like, let it go, man.
Yeah, you grew up.
Time to move out. Yeah, exactly.
He's the son of strong style.
Yeah, go to your room.
Go to your room. It's in the basement.
It's in the basement.
And the main event, Sho versus Taichi for the KOPW Provisional 2023 Championship. Taichi regaining his title after a match that I think never ended. Actually,
it was
a million
years
long.
It was so long. Just the rules. What are those rules? You told me that the audience voted for those rules?
I don't know if the audience still votes for the rules. That's my understanding for KOPW, they do. I'm sure someone is screaming at their device right now, being like, this is what happened. So Yoshinobu Kanemaru was the ref.
Why?
Because rules. Taichi had several moves banned, most notably the Black Mephisto and all of his signature offense. Sho had moves that he never used once banned. Like the Phoenix Splash and the Double Rotation Shooting Star Press, which is hilarious in a vacuum. but the fact that it's House of Torture nonsense. If you've ever seen a wrestling match ever with a crooked referee, it is playing these hits. Oh, I'm counting fast when it's my guy. Oh, I'm counting slow when it's the other guy.
So predictable.
Oh, I'm counting the count out fast when it's for my guy. I'm counting the count out really slow when
it's the band moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The unconsidered tap out.
Yeah. The blind tap show is tapping
not
out.
Not seeing the wrench.
Yeah, he doesn't see it. Doesn't see the wrench.
Ugh.
Something in my eye.
Oh my god!
And also, of course, we can't have a House of Torture match without the entire faction trotting their fucking faces out there to just waddle around the ring and do the same bullshit every match, every time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a glimmer of hope when Ken Amaro added to this faction that there was going to be some new shtick, some new material. But sadly, it is the same trash over and over and over again.
But Ken Amaro did bring some legitimacy to that team.
This is how poorly the House of Torture looks.
It's crazy, right?
Show has... So first of all, his title reign has no defenses. So he has a crooked ref. He has all of his dumb fuck friends out there to help him out. And he still loses. And band moves. Tai Chi can't even use his finisher. Still loses.
Still fucking loses.
Why? Why do we have to do this? Why is this a main event? Why are we subjecting people to this?
Ugh, it was so bad.
Move on from the... I know Joel might be a fan. But the House of Torture experiment, it's been over 3 years now. It started in the New Japan Cup of 2020. We're done.
Well, they just added a new member. It's not done.
We're done.
Hit
them all with lightning.
Well, Kevin Kelly tried to sell them to us for so many years, and I don't know.
No, Kevin Kelly was on commentary,
worked.
was very much against them. Said, this
no,
is bad.
He really
yeah.
tried at first.
No, he said, this is trash. I don't like this on commentary.
Anyways, the only thing that I thought was good is that we saw Tai Chi's new gear.
Well, yeah, if there's a silver lining, it's that Tai Chi wore some purple.
Yeah, he matches with Sanada now. He looks like a druid.
That's
right?
Another thing about this fashion.
You said religious master villain.
Did I?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Should have written that down.
Like in an anime, you have a
yeah.
religious
yeah.
master that's a villain.
I am here on the behest of the king.
Looks like that.
The
exactly.
purity police. I think they all need to figure out a color scheme. Yuya's in red. Tai Chi's mostly in black, sometimes in purple. Taka's in blue. Sanada's doing his own fucking thing. They don't look like a team.
Well, they're going for bluish purple now.
I hope so.
That's what they're, I feel
these are,
like.
These are the conversations my wife and I have. It's mostly about the attire of the wrestlers.
I love attire.
Someone
could
do a quadruple backflip off the top rope into a perfectly applied submission and be like, his trunks look nice tonight. What?
Speaking of attire, what were those hands dangling from Sho's jacket?
Oh, yeah. Sho has this weird entrance gear where he has multiple hands.
Oh,
and
my
he's like
God.
A
that
spider
was
hybrid.
So weird.
Yeah, and he also has contacts now, so his eyes look... He's so strange. He's awful.
So, thank goodness for Red Shoe that came and saved the thing.
Yes, ref bump from Kanemaru.
Thank you.
Red Shoes comes down, saves the day. Tai Chi wins.
I wrote a massive Kawada slide from Tai Chi for the
Oh, yes, the power bomb and then the full-on slide.
That was cool.
Yeah, you gotta love it. A shout-out to his mentor and trainer.
Yeah. So, that's it. Wraps it up. Good job, Tai Chi. We're very, very happy that this belt is now off of Sho.
Until next month when they probably are going to continue this feud. So we're going to move on to November 20th, the first night of the World Tag League.
Woo!
A-block action from Kurikan Hall. The debut of a new young lion, Sho Makoto.
Yes.
Defeated by Oscar Loibe, who was celebrating his one-year anniversary of in-ring action.
Yay, bravo!
He lost to a giant body slam, which is refreshing for young lions. And again, all the notes are just about how fucking wonderful Oscar is in the ring.
He is. He's so tall. He's good. He's energetic. Also, a lot of energy from the new guy, Shoma.
Yeah. I love it.
He's not the biggest guy.
No, he's probably a junior.
But who knows?
Who knows? And look, you know, all the best to him. There's probably not enough to really see in the 4 minutes we saw him wrestle about what kind of a person he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, all the best for him. Next up, we have just five guys. Doki, Taka, losing to the CMLL side of Soberano Jr. and Atlantis Jr.
Yeah, first time I was seeing them. I love my luchas,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I did love Atlantis Jr. and Soberano Jr. the Lucha attitude. They have it. They're already challenging their opponents.
Yeah.
They come in. They look hungry.
And also, I love this from New Japan. You know, these guys who are going to be on night two in block action, they give it this nice introduction on night one against a junior team of Taka and Doki, who they can really easily beat without really any kind of consequence. So it gives them kind of just this opportunity to go out there, get comfortable, showcase themselves, and then move into the tournament with a little bit of confidence, a little bit of sure footing.
Yeah.
So I really love that as
instead
an introduction.
Of having just a first match that's an actual
right,
tag league
like
match.
What happened to Gates of Agony, which we'll touch on a bit later.
Yeah.
So Soberano Jr. and Atlantis Jr. They seem like a good team. Atlantis Jr. is a little bit bigger, a little bit heftier, a little bit more power based. Soberano Jr. very quick, high flyer.
Yeah,
standard lucha.
I told you that they reminded me of Aussie Hopin.
That's a great comp, yeah.
Like, you have the big guy that does the big move, you have the quick guy, the tall, thin guy that does tall, but together they work so well and they do good moves together. Really like them.
But unfortunately, Soberano Jr. and Atlantis Jr., no mullets.
No mullets.
Shout out to Dungzilla Mark Davis. Yes, so I think it was a great way to introduce the CMLL wrestlers. So I was really happy with that. Next up, the team of Lance Archer, Alex Zane, Minoru Suzuki, and Yuji Nagata versus the Bullet Club of Jack Bonza. Bad Luck Fale, Gato, and Taiji Ishimori.
I love them.
Yeah.
I am excited for Monster Sauce. I love them. They will be fun to watch for sure. It was funny to see also Suzuki and Nagata already fighting. The tournament has not even started for them.
They're already
fighting.
Pissed off at each other.
It's hilarious.
Alex Zane, Chris Charlton was talking about this on commentary. Alex Zane has his own combo at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You can order an Alex Zane combo.
That's crazy.
These are levels of fame that I aspire to. I don't care what I do in life. If I get a Taco Bell combo...
No, I want a poutine name after me somewhere.
Well, that's because we're from Quebec. That's very regional.
Yeah.
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 Fair enough. If you're within the sound of our voice and you don't know what poutine is, look it up. It's worth it. I noticed that Fale was sweaty before the bell rang. Why is he in this tournament? There's so many guys we could add. We could add West Coast Wrecking Crew. We could add Young Lions.
They need people to lose.
Okay, and you think Fale and Jack Bonza, that's what they do? The Red Commander, Jack Bonza?
100%.
Fair enough. Bonza looks fine. In this first match, he was okay.
Yeah.
He's, I don't know, it feels like he's going to probably take some time to acclimate to the New Japan style coming in from Australia. I'm sure it's a nice opportunity for him. We're going to see how he does throughout the tournament. Not too much to sink your teeth into in this match. Nagata taps out Gato. And, we move on with our night. L.I.J., Bushi, Tsuji, and Zandokan Jr.
Zandokan.
Versus just five guys. This is the match where Bushi had the Star-Lord mask. And then Taichi, Yuya, and Sanada were the just five guys.
It's true.
Zandokan Jr. I immediately liked.
Me too.
I immediately
liked. Where did they find this guy?
CMLL.
Wow.
So I was originally, you know, we did talk about the disappointment of not being Shingo.
Yes.
But Zandokan Jr. is super fun. Just from the moment he stepped into the ring, this guy is dressed like a fucking pirate.
Mm-hmm.
He's snarling at people.
It's funny.
The ref tries to pat him down, and this guy's ready to fight the ref. And that for me is already like enough of like a character thing, a fun thing, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to like this guy.
Yeah, he's got a good playfulness that is also fitting well with Tsuji.
Yeah.
What is a
Cheshire
grin?
Cheshire cat grin, absolutely. I thought Chris Charlton on commentary was excellent on this match. I think he set up in a big way the continuing rivalry of Yota Tsuji and Yuya. I think he touched on the fact that they debuted on the same day, they went on an excursion, their last match was the same day, and he really highlighted the fact of what was going on, which was Yuya Uemura, who's usually smiling and kissing babies and waving and shaking hands and shit. When he sees Tsuji, he gets this serious mean fucking look on his face because this is this guy he does not like. So I think in this match, Chris Charlton really really highlighted that in an important way, where if you're listening to the commentary and you see what's happening, I think it really heightens the experience. So I thought that was really, really good. Yuya pins Bushi here and makes a little eye contact with Yoda Tsuji to sell their match the following night. Yuya has wonderful hair.
Oh my god, I wrote the same thing.
Is it not tremendous?
He has magnificent mane.
A lot, flock of, yeah, mane is the right word. Fuck, yeah. This man has a beautiful, just absolute, this man is like, I know Just Five Guys has recently done a shampoo commercial, but Yuya wasn't in the faction, so you guys need to redo that commercial with Yuya.
Did they?
Yeah.
Who's got good hair in that faction?
Doki.
Oh, yeah, okay, true.
Doki has, like, Lucy Liu hair. Like, it's just thick and black. And
it's funny, because Just Five Guys sounds exactly like Just for Men.
Yeah, that was the first joke. Yeah, especially when it was
right?
Just Four Guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's Just for Men. Or also Five Guys the Burgers, but never mind.
Never mind. It's just so talk, I can sell all that merch. yeah, no, Yuya has the best hair in the game right now. Shout out to Yuya. Moving on, next match. ELP, Hikuleo, and Jado, the Gorillas of Destiny, versus Bishamon and Yo. ELP and Hikuleo have a very cool new shirt.
Yes, there was this cute little t-shirt exchange at the beginning of the
match.
Yeah,
like a soccer match. Yes,
it was
yes.
Very cute,
yeah.
And I have to say, I would be so happy if I was Yo, because that t-shirt from ELP and Hikuleo is my favorite t-shirt that
yeah.
I've seen so far. It
Yo,
is so cool.
Yo decided to wrestle the entire match wearing the Gorillas of Destiny shirt, which is very kind of him. Yeah, it was fine. It was kind of a match where, you know, the guys in a six-man tag going through the motions on the undercard. ELP pins Yo after a CR2. Again, perfectly perfunctory match. It's fine. You know, ELP is really trying to find his footing as a good guy, still interacting with the crowd. You know, they're going to be facing Bishamon in the main event of Night 2, so it's to build to that. I think the Gorillas of Destiny, I don't have a lot of use for Tongaloa. Tama Tonga continually going after the Never Open Weight Championship. It feels stale to me. I think ELP and Hikuleo are a fun team that you can sink your teeth into.
So fun.
I think just the dynamic, the way they look, the way they interact with each other. I think Hikuleo not being a big scary monster, him being a little bit of a big goof,
mm-hmm.
fits kind of with ELP's stupid chaotic energy. So I think the two of them together,
they fit so well.
Yeah.
They're like Bill and Ted, you know?
Oh, interesting. I like that.
Kind of.
And then we can follow their excellent adventures. So now we finally have gotten into,
let's go!
The World Tag League.
First match, World Tag League.
So, the very first entrance, World Tag League. The Gates of Agony, representing All Elite Wrestling. Bishop Khan, Toa Leona. Coming out, full ceremonial war garb. Looking like a fucking $1 million.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
First of all, these guys are two-thirds of the Ring of Honor six-man tag champions.
Okay.
So, they come out, they're strapped with gold. They look like fucking warrior gods from another place.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's a wonderful introduction. And I also like the fact that they're kicking off the tournament against TMDK. Shane Hayes, Mikey Nichols, these guys are veterans. They've wrestled in Japan for many years. You know, so any kind of nerves, and I think Gates of Agony did look nervous right off the gate.
Yeah, you think so?
I think right off the bat. I love the entrance gear. I like the aura. You know, Shane Haste was mocking them doing the Prince Nana dance because obviously the Gates of Agony are part of Mogul Embassy, which
okay,
has
yeah,
Swerve
yeah.
and Nana and Brian Cage. So I think there was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there. Yeah, I think they were obviously a bit nervous. I felt that Bishop Khan looked really, really good, where Toa Leona looked nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop
yeah.
Khan was moving really well in the opening.
He has character. He looks
yeah.
at the camera.
Yes,
you know.
He emotes with his face. Toa Leona looks mad and angry, sure. But there was something, he felt nervous. He felt off. There was a couple miscommunications throughout the match. It wasn't just the cleanest match of all time, but it was really, I think it was a good way to introduce it, kind of work the nerves off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like what we talked about with earlier in the night, Soberano Jr. and Atlantis Jr. fighting two juniors to kind of get the nerves off, feel
mm-hmm.
out the crowd. Gates of Agony didn't have that luxury. They had to go out and just kind of, their first match is just the first tournament match, right?
Yeah, and they're coming out and they're fighting Shane Hayes that was at 150 through the whole match.
Well, that's just how he moves.
I know. But yeah, you have to keep up with those guys, you know?
Absolutely.
It's not an easy one. And in fact, they lost. Shane Hayes pins Bishop Khan.
After the Tank Buster, absolutely. And I think it's a great way to intro the Gates of Agony. You have to start off with guys who know the lay of the land, are able to make sure that they calm them down and walk them through the match. So yeah, all good there. TMDK racks up the first 2 points of the World Tag League. Second match. House of Torture versus Ishii and Yano.
Yano! And Yano couldn't even promote his new drink because House of Torture decided to attack him even before his presentation is over.
Let me tell you. Evil and Yujiro versus Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano. This was a scientific wrestling classic. This was just holds and counter holds, chain wrestling. It was like World of Sport. It was unbelievable. If you're a fan of just brilliant scientific wrestling, this match is for you.
Well, that exposed turnbuckle really got a lot of hits that night.
Oh, my God. Fuck me. It's the same thing. Every match, it's the same thing. It's the same thing every match. It's lame. It's lame and it's boring. You know what else is lame? I'll tell you what else is lame. When your taunt, your professional wrestling taunt, is pretending to smoke a cigarette. It's fucking lame.
Ugh.
You know what's worse than smoking?
Like we're
pretending to smoke.
Yeah, we're over cigarettes. Come on.
No, but even if you smoke, like people who smoke, no smoking's bad, but now you're pretending to smoke.
Oh, you're so
what a badass.
Bad.
They're so,
so
fucking,
bad.
They're so lame. It's the same bullshit over and over and over again. It's generally, it's just the worst.
So, a bunch of shenanigans, everything is evil, Pinziano. That's it. Next.
Please no more. Let's talk about some good fucking wrestling.
Oh, let's go. This one was a good one. We had War Dogs, Alex Coughlin and Gabe Kidd.
Yes.
Versus Kaito Kiyomiya and Ryohei Ohara. I have such a hard time. You know a tongue twister?
Yes.
His name is my tongue twister.
Unique New York.
Ryohei.
Red leather, yellow leather. Unique New York. New York unique. Robot eyewash.
So.
What a fucking match, though.
What a match. I mean, right at the start, so much adrenaline and testosterone.
Well, this is, and you know what I love is the fucking storytelling here. So Gabe Kidd and Kaito Kiyomiya were at each other's throats during the G1. They ended up going to a double countout because they were brawling and they had just the most fuck you energy. And it was tremendous. And that energy carried over to this tag match. So they came out and they just wanted each other's blood.
Oh, yeah.
And this match started off aggressive, mean. They beat the fuck out of each other. And it never let up. At no point. They just get harder and harder.
The whole way. That's the kind of match I want to have 5 of them in every show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So these guys worked their asses off. They were beating the hell out of each other. And we were thinking, okay, so Gabe and Kaito Kiyomiya are definitely going to have these kind of interactions. How are Alex Coughlin and Oiwa going to interact? And they're like, no, us too. My guy hates your guy, so fuck you. And they just beat the fuck out of each other too. It was tremendous.
The slaps raining on every man. Beautiful bridges. Coughlin flying out of nowhere. And I like these two. Kid and Coughlin, I mean, they look like a team. They feel like a team.
Yeah.
They work as a team. They look so good.
Yeah, they're always barking at each other. Tag me, do this, blah, blah, blah. They look fucking mean and tough. Like for me, when you reset the Bullet Club, these are the guys I care about. I don't give a shit about Taiji Ishimori, Bad Luck Fale, Gato, Kenta. I don't give a fuck. These are my guys. The War Dogs, and then fucking Connors and Maloney. These are the guys who I give a shit about. These are the guys who look fucking mean. Is it going to take some time for them to develop into full-fledged character? Are they a little one-note one now? Yeah, sure, they're a little one-note right now. But I feel like the more reps they get, the more they explore the characters, the more they connect with the audience.
100%.
The more that they deepen their bag of tricks, right?
Yeah.
Coughlin hasn't been wrestling that long.
No?
Coughlin has not been wrestling that long. So these guys really have a lot of upside. And I think if you allow them to fucking work and just continue to push them and continue to put them in spots where they can shine, I think that's a great opportunity for
mm-hmm.
these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really good on these guys. I think they're a big deal.
There was so much good outside of the ring action.
Yes.
In that match.
Absolutely.
And that's actually how it ended. I mean, Kaito jumps in the ring at 19.
And
Caden Coughlin gets counted out.
Absolutely.
That's
I think that's also a good finish because it calls back to what happened during the G1. It definitely protects the War Dogs from eating a pin.
Yes.
And it continues this rivalry between them.
That's it. It's not over.
Yeah. And they are pissed off and they kept fighting after the bell. They kept going after each other. There was every young lion under the sun was there to fucking break it up. It was great. It felt like a big fight. And it was such a palate cleanser from the House of Torture bullshit. You're like, why, let's get this every match.
Let's get this.
Yeah. Kaito Kiyomiya's.
But I understand you cannot have that.
No.
Every match.
Understood. For me, Kaito Kiyomiya is in an interesting spot. He came in during the G1. He had a horrible record. His whole story and arc was taking Oiwa under his wing. And the new GHC World Heavyweight Champion, Kano, has been quoted as saying, in terms of Pro Wrestling Noah, if Kiyomiya doesn't produce results in the World Tag League, not to come back to Noah.
Oof. Oof.
So I don't really understand what Noah is doing with Kiyomiya. Like, they're not really setting this guy up for success. So it's really strange. Oiwa has this awful dye in his hair.
It looks like a blonde under bowl.
It's so fucking... Who let him do this? Someone talk to these new guys who are on excursion. Check the names. Oiwa's going to come back, and it's going to be like jizz shot. It's going to be like load bust. It's going to be awful.
Already.
It's
going to
be something
taken.
Awful. It's going to be like rock slide. It's going to be some trash thing. So this was a great match. This, for me, was my match of the night. This is something that you should go out of your way. If you can't watch the entire card,
at
watch
least.
This match.
For sure. I agree.
Another match I was really, really enjoyed. We're moving on to the main event now. Shota Umino, Ren Narita, pick up the win on the United Empire team of Hanare and the Great Okan.
Yeah, love the new face mask for Hanare, matching the face tattoo.
The face of fury.
Yeah. I have to address the fact, because that happened this year, and Hanare got the face tattoo.
During the G1.
First match of the G1, he comes in, and I'm like, okay, you get a face tattoo, you're going to rip a hole into everybody in that
right.
competition.
Yeah.
And
he lost
ugh. His face tattoo debut match. I'm like, you couldn't even give him a freaking win when he's debuting a face tattoo. And I don't know if you noticed, but Inari has no other tattoos. So he went from virgin skin to, oh, put me down on my face from ear to ear, by the way, go
and
on top
nose.
Of the nose.
His upper lip?
And
his
you don't
chin?
Even give him a win on his first match? Come on, New Japan. You could have done better than that.
Yo, that seems so painful.
Yeah.
This man is far tougher than I am.
But yeah, cool new face mask.
Cool new face mask.
And Okan looking like a Ghost of Christmas Past with his red cape and his green robe.
I think everyone worked really hard in this match. This is definitely the second best match of the night. I think Ren Narita and Great Okan just dropped each other on their heads a bunch. You know,
that was scary at some point.
Yeah, but I think, you know, this is the main event. These guys are choosing what to do. You know, they had a lot of time. I think the closing stretch of this match was really entertaining. The end, really, really good stuff. Shota Umino ends up pinning Okan after a Death Rider. I think everyone worked their ass off. Hanari always looks so menacing. Strikes.
He does.
Looks like he's fucking hurting people.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I love Okan and Inari getting more and more into the team vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know Okan probably misses Jeff Cobb a
lot.
He
doesn't. I miss Jeff Cobb.
But, you know, they're going to it, you know?
Yeah.
And Ren Narita, I mean, He has a move called the Ren Narita Special Number 4.
That's a submission, yes.
I mean, even his moves have boring names.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I think he needs an injection of personality. He needs a little something. He needs a little... I don't know what it is. Is it venom? Does he need to be meaner?
Not
Does he
meaner.
Need to be grittier?
Have...
Does he need to be showy, flashy? What is this
yeah.
guy now? Because for me, when I see him, I go, okay. There's nothing, there's nothing entertaining about him. Yeah.
You need some flash. You need some glitter, some sparkles.
Well, thankfully, he's teaming with Shota Umino. So maybe some of Shota's glitter will,
should
like...
rob off.
Yeah.
Ren Narita.
You know what I mean?
Let's hope.
So overall, a good first night of action. Shota jumps on the mic and already declares that he's going to go to the Tokyo Dome with Ren Narita to claim the IWGP World Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Another interesting caveat about this is Bishamon, who are the current champions, are the 99th champion. So whoever challenges in the Tokyo Dome will have the opportunity to become the 100th
Ooh.
IWGP Tag Team Champions.
That's
so
cool.
At the end of Night 1, A Block is as follows. TMDK, the House of Torture, Kaito Kiyomiya and Rahoye Oiwa? Rohe.
I told you.
Oiwa?
Oiwa?
And Shooter and Ren, all at 2 points. We're moving on to night number 2, B Block, November 20th in Kurikan Hall. We have the debut of another young lion.
Hey.
Katsuyuya Murashima.
Welcome in the ring.
Welcome to the team, bud.
Katsuya.
Apparently he has a mixed martial art background. He showed up heavily bruised.
Yeah.
And he was defeated in several minutes by Yuto Nakashima.
Yeah, Yuto looks just dang powerful.
Yeah, he looks staunch.
Already looks powerful over him. 6 minute.
That's fine.
Submission by Yuto, of course.
But they already set that up, eh? Like the guy before him, who debuted the night before, he only lasted 4.5 minutes
mm-hmm.
against Oscar. And this guy lasted 6.5 minutes, right?
But I like the camaraderie of Yuto over this new young lion.
Compared to
like Oscar the day before that literally kicked the other guy's face and
be like,
fuck
you.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And he left. Like, there's different characters. You know?
I love that.
Yeah.
But I also, what I really appreciate is in both of the two debuts, the night one and the night two of the tournament, Kurikan Hall really getting behind these debuts.
Yes.
Just the amount of noise they made for these guys was just something
that's
wonderful.
That's great. That's what you need. That's
absolutely.
What you want. You want to motivate them into being the best that they can.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat. So let's go.
So, next matchup, we had the Gates of Agony defeating Hanma and Oscar Loibe.
They defeated Oscar Loibe and Hanma?
Who would have seen that coming?
Wow. You know, it's a match.
Yeah. And again, this is when I talked about the booking, Soberano Jr., when I talked about, you know, getting acquainted, this is the Gates of Agony doing that the next night. They come in, they don't have the fancy entrance gear anymore, but they look pissed off from their loss the night before.
Yeah.
They run through Hanma and Oscar, they look mean as fuck. Oscar is just taking an ass whooping from these guys. Again, a little bit sloppy in certain spots this match. I do think the Gates of Agony are still nervous, and I think that's something that they're going to get better the tournament as it goes on. But I think that they were, you know, more comfortable here than they were on the first night. Obviously, it's not as high pressure as the opening match of the tournament. So I think that, you know, I think Gates of Agony, we keep an eye on them. They have some really interesting offense, which they haven't broken out yet, which I expect when they get into a main event, we're going to see it. Bishop Khan has a move that I've seen in AEW a couple times, and it hasn't happened here yet, where he's going to stand on the second rope, and he's going to have a guy in a sidewalk slam, and then drop him on the top turnbuckle.
Mm.
And it looks mean as fuck,
yeah.
And I can't wait for it to happen.
You got to save some, you know?
You got to save some for the main event. You can't blow your load on night one. So, second match. Kaito Kiyomiya, Rehoye Oiwa, and Oleg Bolton versus Hanare, the Great O'Khan, and
Callum
Newman of the United Empire. So Kaito Kiyomiya beats Newman here.
But again, Callum did look very good.
He looked
super
good.
Fast.
Very fast.
Nice moves. Loved it.
Again, you know, I've been talking a big game about Chris Charlton. Chris Charlton did a wonderful job here of kind of highlighting the shared history of Kaito Kiyomiya and the Great O'Khan through their interactions with Keiji Muto, the Great Muta.
Mm.
Mostly, you know, Kaito getting his ass handed to him by Keiji Muto during his retirement run in Noah, and the Okan challenging him and getting misted and so on and so forth. So they decided to start the match together because they have this kind of shared history, and Charlton explained why that was important, so I really enjoyed that part of it. Oiwa, two nights in a row, has used the teardrop suplex, which is a suplex that I have not seen since Shawn Michaels used it in the mid-90s.
Wow.
And I don't know why that stuck out to me, but it's a move that I've seen so infrequently. When you see so many German suplexes and dragon suplexes and tiger suplexes, the teardrop suplex is interesting, so I don't know if that's going to play into his offense, or maybe I'm just overthinking of it, but it just seemed like an interesting kind of nod.
Let's hope.
Maybe. If he starts busting out super kicks, then we can ship him off to AEW. Callum Newman, as you mentioned, I felt looked super good. You know, he ate a Shining Wizard to get beat here, but I think he, you know, again, the speed was always on display.
Yeah.
Looks like he's fitting in with the United Empire. He sits on the apron when Okan sits on the guy in the corner. They look like a team. They interact together. Like, I feel like they all wear the same colors. They fucking look right. So excited about that. Moving on, next match. Tiger Mask, Master Watto, Shota Umino, Ren Narita defeat the Bullet Club team of Gedo, Taiji Ishimori, Alex Coughlin, Gabe Kidd.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Tiger Mask new black letter pants that gives him a little bit of a
BDSM
a bad boy look.
He's the bad boy of the junior division.
Which kind of, is different from his usual stuff. And what is all that talk about Shooter's scent?
This is the third time on commentary.
What is that?
This is the third show. And it's the third time on commentary where someone has pointed out how good Shota Umino smells. With Hanare clarifying that he smells like Dr. Pepper? What? What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know, but it seems to be something special, and I hope one day I will experience it, you know?
You want
to
smell Shota Umino? I can't take you to wrestling shows anymore. We went to go see New Japan in Lowell, Massachusetts, and you winked at Sonata. This is L.I.J. Sonata.
Sonata winked at me.
I'll whip his ass. I think I've threatened him on this podcast before, oddly enough.
You did.
I'm repeating myself now like an old man. Watto taps out Gato with Vindaval. Otherwise, a straight up match to set up the next night of Shota and Ren versus Kid and Alex. Kid and Alex Coughlin here not wearing their Bullet Club gear, wearing their old
black. Everybody was wearing black in that
match.
Everyone
was wearing black, but they weren't wearing their Bullet Club gear, which is bizarre to me.
Well, they wore them last night, so
I guess they just couldn't. They couldn't do the laundry in time, whatever the case was.
Again, Narita, his towels and his T-shirt look boring. Like, everything.
He's the son of strong style.
Looks boring. It's all black and white.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's just his name.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But there's some guys who that's been successful for, but I don't think that's for him.
Moving on.
Finally, some tournament action. No, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh.
House of Torture.
Fuck. Fuck. The team of TMDK, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, and Ichiban Sweet Boy, Kosei Fujita, versus Evil Yujiro Dick Togo.
Oh, the only thing that was interesting or good in this match was Fujita.
Yeah, Fujita's great.
Ichiban Sweet Boy.
He's the sweetest boy.
Let's go.
I think I found out a way to enjoy the House of Torture matches. I think if you skip the introductions, and then you skip what happens after the bell, and you don't watch the match, it's fine.
Okay, yeah, we should try that. Yeah, okay.
I think that's fine. So, Evil wins. Yay.
And that's it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Poor Habe, timekeeper.
Yeah.
That's such a big hit in that match.
Every time.
Bigger than usual.
And he's been doing this for years, Evil, knocking this fucking guy over. And you know what? Why? Is there a payoff to this? Is Habe going to jump the railing and beat the fuck out of him or cost him a match?
Never.
No, just to keep doing the same shit. There's no payoff to any of this.
Oh,
it never goes anywhere. It never changes. It never evolves. It never becomes a story. They just continually do the same shit. If I was... Say I'm in a unit, right? I'm the sixth guy, just six guys. We get done. We're finishing our hair commercial. And, you know, I go, hey, Taichi, Sonata, Doki, I have an idea. How about whoever has a match, they go out first. And then all of us hang out with steel chairs. And then we beat the fuck out of the House of Torture, and then we're done. And then we just let them have a match. How does no unit just fucking attack these guys and beat them into a pulp yet? It makes no sense.
I don't know.
It makes no sense. If we have dog cages matches and handcuff matches, beat these men into oblivion.
And it's not as if they have the skills to retaliate that much.
No, they're all trash.
Let's be honest.
Dick to go. Now, finally, night two of block action in the World Tag League 2023.
Finally.
Minoru Suzuki, Yuji Nagata, defeated by the CMLL team of Atlantis Junior and Soberano Junior.
Woo-hoo!
Atlantis Junior and Soberano Junior come out in matching gear and color, which for Evelyn and me is a big plus.
Oh,
we love our matching gear on tag teams.
Yes, and I have to say, big shout out to Soberano Junior's Elvis style one-piece suit with glitter.
Doesn't it look amazing?
It was so good.
Right?
Oh my god, it looked so good. Viva Las Vegas,
Viva
Soberano.
Las Vegas. He wore it better than Max Verstappen, I'll tell you that much. I think it was a good match. I think it was a good way to highlight the CMLL team. I think them picking up a win over Nagata and Suzuki makes sense. We had Soberano get a like a desperation crucifix pin on Suzuki. And I think they did a good job of showcasing these guys' talent. I think they got a lot of good offense in. I think you see how these guys are going to work throughout their matches. And I think it's going to be... I think these guys are going to be matches that you watch. These guys are... They look like they're there to work. They look like they're there to leave an impression. I'm really looking forward to the rest of the tournament from these two guys.
Me too. I can't wait for them to fight like a very energetic team
yeah.
like them. Like, it's going to be crazy.
I mean...
When they're going to be against, like, a...
Monster
know,
Sauce?
A Monster Sauce team. It's going to be intense.
Or a Yuya Taichi?
Yeah.
Or ELP Hikuleo?
Oof.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of teams I want to see them, you know...
Exactly. Yeah,
lock
yeah.
up with.
Bring
like,
them on.
This is a good tournament. Like, this is a good... I understand we're talking shit about House of Torture and the Rogue Army and stuff, but this is a good tournament.
Yeah.
Would I love there to be a couple substitutions? Yes. But I think on the whole, they did a good job of booking this tournament. I like the two blocks. I like the 16 teams. I think that, you know, you're never going to have exactly what you want from a New Japan tournament. There's always going to be a couple fucking dorks that you wish weren't in the tournament. But I think as far as tag tournaments go, this has been the most compelling lineup in a long time. And
yeah.
I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, I like it too.
So the CMLL tied of Atlantis Jr. and Soberano Jr. walk away with 2 points. Next up, maybe my favorite team, Monster Sauce. Lance Archer, Alex Zane.
I told you, from the
get-go. Defeat the Rogue Army.
I love them. Lance is hilarious. There's no young lion around the ring when he comes out.
He was mad.
So he's mad, and he goes backstage to try to find a young lion so he can beat them up just for fun, you know? I love it. I love the attitude. It's so funny. Does he have a new back tattoo every time we see him?
I think his back tattoo, I think it's a magical ink that just takes over more of his body. This man has, I like Lance Archer. He's a huge man. I've seen him in arenas. He's been incredibly kind to me. This man has awful tattoos.
Yeah, well.
Awful.
It's growing.
He's from Texas.
It's growing.
Also, can I say these two have a fucking incredible entrance video?
They have a song. They have a Monster Sauce
song. And they also have like
for them.
They have like a kaiju video where there's some woman be like, "Oh no, it's Monster Sauce," and they're like knocking over like buildings and shit. Come on, that's tremendous.
They're so fun.
I love that. I love that he had to hunt down young lions to hurt. I love the Godzilla intro video. I like that Lance Archer will choke slam Alex Zane onto his opponents to prove a point.
I wrote the same thing. I'm like, I think it's hilarious the fact that one of their tag moves
yeah.
is for Archer to choke slam Zane into an opponent.
Why not?
That's so good.
I love it. I think that Jack Bonza, who's doing his first tournament match here, sadly gets completely overshadowed by Zane and Archer.
Yeah, but I mean, he's teaming with Bad Luck Fale. It's tough. It's going to
yeah.
be a team that's going to take the hits and going to take the no points.
Yeah.
He had some good... He had a cool submission move he did in the middle of the match.
Oh, yeah, he had
match.
A nice modified bow and arrow. Yes, he did.
Like that. There was some big boy meat slapping throughout this whole match.
No, he worked really hard. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yep.
I give him props for that. It's not going to be easy for him. And right now, he's doing a good job at supporting the team.
Sure. Absolutely. So, Monster Sauce takes their first 2 points. Next up, Yuya and Taichi defeat the team of Tsuji and Zandokan Jr.
Oof.
Heatstorm versus Jean Blast.
They're really going at it from the start of the match.
A tale as old as time.
They don't even care about the tag.
I love it.
They're just whatever.
Well, you know, Chris Charlton built it on commentary the day before, and then they got into the ring, and they, you know, Tsuji is kind of being playful and fuck around because he pinned Yuya the last time they were in a tag match together and threw him out of the ring like a piece of trash. And Yuya wants his fucking blood. Yuya's like, get in the ring, you fuck. Stop smiling, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you. And Tsuji's like, do you want the pirate? Do you want the sexy pirate? And Yuya's like, you stand here, Jean Blast. And he's like, sorry, Heatstorm. Have the sexy pirate. And the sexy pirate's like, yar, I have an eye patch. And Yuya's like, this is unacceptable.
Zandokan Jr. worked a lot in that match.
He looked great.
I feel like he did 3/4 of everything.
And I'm so happy about it. Because this was a great...
He looks great.
Again, a great way to showcase him.
That's true. He did have a match against Taichi. Apparently beat the shit out of Taichi.
The scars on his chest.
2 days ago and the scars on his chest. And it's so funny because this guy comes out of nowhere, beats Taichi, and then in this match he's like... biting his toes through his boots.
Yeah, it's true.
And Taichi's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Who the fuck is he biting my toes for? But I think Tsuji and Yuya, like, I think Shota's doing well, but I think Yuya has, like, passed, I know we've been ragging on Ren Narita, but even a guy like Yuya came back and immediately is showing more fire, more energy, more charisma, right?
Tell me. 100%.
Tsuji has all these little details that are lovely. Like, Tsuji will drag Yuya into the fucking crowd, beat the shit out of him, walk away, and then, like, take the time to, like, gently close the gate and lock it behind him. Just that little dick move. And then he'll look right into the camera and have this giant smile, and you're like, this guy fucking gets it, man. All these little moments that get picked up, all these energetic things, you're like, this guy's a fucking stud.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know... I love it. And I feel like this is a feud that's going to continue. They're going to pick up. You know, Yuya hasn't had a G1
yet. This feud is going to go on...
forever.
For the next 20
years. Well, just think about it. Think about it. Look at the last... So when you had the big Okada title, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a big period of time, you had a very tight amount of world champions. You had Okada, AJ Styles, fucking Naito, Kenny Omega. You know what I mean? Until 2020, where it kind of opened up a bit more. And guys like... Osprey, Shingo, you know, picked up their title. Evil for the first wins.
Jay White.
You know, Jay White had won in that group. So that you can have a really competitive title picture with 4 or 5 really good heavyweights. So if you think about Tsuji, Yoda. Sorry, Tsuji, Shooter, Ren, Yuya, and then a Gabe Kidd. Those 5 guys could carry the next 10 years of story.
That's it.
Then you know what I mean? Someone else brings in, Kaito Kiyomiya comes in for a couple months, he gets a couple shots.
Mm-hmm.
They could build out this amount of time.
And
it doesn't take this many guys.
And I'm ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm already ready for it.
Yeah.
I can just imagine how good it's going to get.
I'm excited. And, you know, if you saw the Tsuji matches, you saw Shooter versus Osprey, these guys do have the skill to pull it off.
Yes.
These guys absolutely have the skill.
Yeah.
And I think this match... is kind of a little amuse-bouche of what's going to happen later, you know?
Yeah.
Taichi beats Zandokan Jr. here with a Black Mephisto. He's chopping the fuck out of everybody. They're beating the hell out of each other. Zandokan Jr., big chops, biting toes. He did this backdrop into a pile driver thing that he just, like, did, like, what looked to be a normal backdrop and then spun on his heels and dropped somebody in a pile driver. And I was like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
They had this... Zandokan Jr. worked his ass off in this match. I know you mentioned it before. They had this thing where Yuya was on the outside. Tsuji put him on the railing and held him there.
Yes.
And then Zandokan dove through the ropes like a suicide dive and then landed like a splash while Yuya was lying on the top
on
of the railing.
On the railing.
What the fuck? Jesus Christ.
That looked so painful.
I felt it in my balls and ribs on the couch in Montreal. I was like, why?
I felt it in your balls, too.
And ribs. Ugh. So yeah, no, a wonderful match. I think a tremendous introduction to Zander Khan Jr. Just five guys, picks up 2 points.
And good for them too. Taichi deserved it. He got beaten up by the guy before, so
yeah,
it was time for him to win, you know?
Absolutely. I think it was a tremendous match.
And the fact that Taichi pinned
Zandokan
means that there's still no Yuya Tsuji winner.
Well,
still up in
Yuya
the air.
Hasn't had a singles match yet.
That's it.
He's only been in tag matches, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, Tsuji came back and immediately, like, Sonata, one-on-one, right? And he's had a bunch of singles matches and he hasn't been particularly successful. So I feel like they're keeping Yuya for something.
Mm-hmm.
Is his first singles match going to be the New Japan Cup? You know, we don't know yet. So I think they're keeping tight to the vest, and I think it's smart that they didn't let all these guys come back exactly at the same time.
True.
So having Yuya hang around in Impact for a couple more days.
Yeah.
Just a couple bit, a month or two longer. Let them really offset, and let him come back after the G1. You're setting them up at different paces, so you can kind of pace the storytelling. So I think that was a very, very clever thing.
I agree.
Moving on to the main event.
Champs versus champs.
Something's gotta give.
We got Bishamon, which is the perfect Pokemon, by the way.
Yep.
Right?
It evolves.
Bishamon versus G.O.D. Gorillas of Destiny. So Yoshiashi and Goto versus ELP and Ikaleo.
What'd you think?
I think that was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love ELP and Ikaleo.
Right.
I've been an ELP fan for a long time. You know about that.
You have the shirt.
I have ELP as my daddy shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, this Canadian sweet boy is, I'm on his side since the boot gate.
Since boot gate, yeah. Since the loaded boot.
Since the loaded boot gate. And also, ELP are my initials. So having an ELP as my daddy t-shirt made a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
For me. So, yeah, I'm all for him. And I think he's great with Ikaleo. Love the new robe that Goto came out in. They have new gear,
Bishamon has new gear, yeah, all white.
Oh, Goto looked so good. I was so happy for him. And Yoshiashi, on the other hand, what the hell was that? That looks like an old, you know, the cleaning boards?
Like when you're in the bank of a river and
yeah,
you need to clean,
and
like
some
Old
people
West.
Play music on that.
Oh, shit.
It looks like an armor made of that. It was, I'm like, nah.
Spirit Halloween?
Nah. And next to Goto, that looks like $1 million,
yeah.
Of course. ELP and Ikaleo looking fly as usual. I mean, I just want to be their friends. I want to hang out with them backstage.
This was a tremendous match. I liked it. I liked maybe the Yuya Taichi Tsuji Zandokan match a bit more. So I think in both of the two nights, the semi-main event might have been better than the main event.
Okay, yeah.
In the Bishamon ELP Hikuleo match, I think they all worked real hard. I think El Phantasmo looked like $1 million here.
Again?
I think he was just wants to work his ass off. I think he has something to prove. I think for him, this tournament is a big opportunity for
yes
him.
I feel I am so happy for him after the being shunned from Bullet Club for having convictions and not going with the new guy, and I felt bad for him, the fact that he was alone, he was trying to find himself, and then he found this new family. And
which is kind of his old family.
Which is kind of his old... But they're all the guys that got booted out, you know? And it works. It just works.
Sure.
For him. And he takes that and he brought them to another level.
Sure. I also like the story and the element of the story where he goes from being a shitbag cheater in Bullet Club.
Uh-huh.
And now that he is turning over a new leaf and trying to do the right thing, he's struggling. He's not having success right away because he's so used to low blows, cheating, shithousery. But now the fact that he has to do it by the book and he's trying to win these people over with just skill, he's not doing as well. And that's another part of his journey where he has to find that another gear. He's already in another weight class, and now he's adding to the difficulty by, I am not going to cheat anymore.
He's got the fans on his side. They love him.
Yeah.
He loves them back, too.
True.
He gives a lot to the crowd. He always did, but now it's even more heartfelt. I mean, yeah, it was great. Yoshihashi never quit the yelling. I mean, he's top yelling guy. I feel like there was a couple of... There was, like, at least two things that happened. At one point, Yoshihashi was dropped by ELP on his knee.
Oh, the atomic drop.
And he just... I felt like he was screaming, "My hole!"
The Nia Jax, "My hole!
My hole!" At least two times in that match, people fell on their ass, and I felt like they were screaming, "My hole!"
Yeah, I really enjoyed this match. I feel like Bishamon has a wonderful tag team chemistry. They have a wonderful sense of moving someone out of the way, jumping in on an attack, double teaming, and then dropping out of the ring. They always have this great fluidity, which I really enjoy watching in the tag team wrestling, which I find a lot of teams miss out on. And I find like ELP and Hikuleo are rapidly improving in that. A little bit of a surprise here, ELP and Hikuleo walking away with the win.
I know. I felt like it needed to happen, though.
Interesting.
If someone is going to beat Bishamon to get that point,
yes,
to beat them in the end,
yeah,
it's got to be them.
So you think this is a positive that shows that they're going far in the tournament?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
I think ELP and Ikuleo, like ELP was saying on the mic, he wants to go to Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
I can see it happening.
Well, I think the aftermatch was really interesting. You know, Hikuleo just didn't say much. He said, "We are going to win, and we're going to go to the Tokyo Dome," and that was great. And then ELP really just started fucking losing his mind. And then these guys ran into the crowd and started taking pictures with the fans, putting their belt on everyone and wiping their sweat on towels like they're Tanahashi. And they milked it for like 45 minutes. Like, this file could be an hour shorter. But yeah, these guys were just having the best time after their win. And I guess it's true. You beat the tag champs, you're going to celebrate, right?
Of course.
But I think everyone worked hard. I think it was a really, really good match. I think it was definitely worth checking out. Yeah, it was fun.
It was a good night. Good night overall. I think we're having a good start to World Tag League.
I think the first two nights were very, very good.
I'm happy about it. I can't wait to see where it goes next blocks. And yeah, till
wonderful.
The end.
So B block is as follows. Soberano Jr., Atlantis Jr., Monster Sauce, Just Five Guys, and the Gorillas of Destiny all at 2 points. Babe, before we call it a night,
yeah,
who are your early standouts, World Tag League?
Definitely, I said it, ELP Kaleo.
Yep.
That's my boys. Also, love Monster Sauce. Monster Sauce, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to win, but they're going to go far.
I like it.
And I do like Atlantis Jr. and Soberano Jr.
Yeah.
They're bringing something that other people are not bringing. I don't know, I like them. And I also like Zandokan Jr. I love my
luchas.
I don't know. They're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great additions.
Fantastica Mania's coming early. Great. So, guys, that's been our coverage.
Wait, wait, wait.
What?
Who are your standouts?
I mean, I feel like I'm just going to repeat the things you said.
Okay.
More than anything. I think...
I thought you were going for Yano and... No.
And Ishii? Nah, I mean, as much as I love Tomohiro Ishii, this now Hall of Famer, but... you know, for me, it's just like, you know, if you've seen a Yano match, you've seen all the Yano matches. I know the slander because you love your Yano. But for me, I think the Zandokan Tsuji, I can't get enough Tsuji. I'm a big Tsuji fan. The Soberano Jr. and Atlantis are good, and I feel like they're going to probably get better the more we see them. I'm excited for Gates of Agony. I'm excited for just some fresh matchups. So, yeah, I think it's shaping up to be a very compelling tournament. I think there's a lot of through lines. I think there's a lot of interesting things that could happen here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. I want to say a shout out to everybody listening to the show today.
Yeah.
Thanks for sticking out with us. It's always a great pleasure to do the Super J-Cast. Shout out to Joel and Damon, of course.
Thank you for having us back.
Thank you so much. And you guys are doing a great job. I know this year has not been easy for you, but you're there and you're always entertaining, and we love you. And that's it.
Wow, what a kiss ass.
Merci.
Bye, everybody. My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach
to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.